You are listening to Sheep My Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. Our current fiction serial is The Season of Dragons. Chapter 2. Elderflower Hall is let at last. The loss of the season at Aberline weighed on me, I will admit, as our party set off in Chambray's chaise and four. I sulked enough that Chambray teased I should take Mr. Harefield's spot next to the driver, as if Mr. Harefield would give up an opportunity to avoid conversation with his wife and her relatives. Dido had set her own disappointment aside, proffering a dubious interest in the house where we were to stay. Chambray proved entirely unsatisfactory in describing Elderflower Hall and its surrounds, except for the supporting details that the hired estate was so many miles from Aberline, and the nearby town of Merriwist was both charming and quaint. "Of course it looks attractive," I muttered into the window of the chaise. "That's how they trap you. Ask any bee how it feels about the foxglove." Dido rolled her eyes at me from behind her decorative fan. Rackham gave an amused snort. Merriwist was both quaint and charming. As pretty as a chocolate box, and small in every respect. It could only be called a town rather than a village, because it had two shopping streets, and it was clear that the residents were ill-accustomed to visitors from the city. The jewel tones of Chambray's carriage, quite modest by the standards of most girls I had been to school with, caught every eye as we passed through. I could practically hear the chain of gossip as it passed from haberdasher to greengrocer and beyond. An alarming thought crossed my mind. "You haven't called on anyone yet, have you?" Now it was my brother's turn to roll his eyes. "A few of the local gentlemen have called on me, in a friendly manner, to welcome Elderflower Hall's new tenant." "And you called on them in return," I realized with sinking feeling. "Already?" "Without us to keep an eye on him, and prevent the wrong sort of friendship, was what I meant." "Within a few days? It's how things are done, Dim." "I know how things are done," I snapped. Dido took over with those smooth hostess skills she's been honing of late. "Do any of these local gentlemen have daughters, my dear?" Chambray leaned back against the soft leather lining of the chaise. "What's wrong with daughters? Don't be obtuse, Chambray. You must be careful. I can assure you, Dido, I'm capable of sitting in a fellow's library for 10 minutes without accidentally affiancing myself to his daughter." "They move fast in rural communities," Rackham said evenly. "Have you received any dinner invitations, Ivorwald?"
"Sir William Ellis invited us all to dinner next week," muttered Chambray, looking pleased with himself. "Capital fellow. He's connected to the Topaz Flame Drakes, you know. And I had to turn down an invitation to dine with the Bellamy family a few days ago, because I was coming to Aberline to collect you all. But there's an assembly ball tomorrow, and we can all become acquainted with the locals."
"A country dance?" I inquired, in a tone usually reserved for squashed flies on the windowsill. Dido nudged me with her foot. We couldn't all be diplomats. "I've been assured that springtime in Merriwist is packed with entertainments, and we won't miss Aberline at all," said Chambray, with a pointed look that I did not appreciate in the least. Rackham snorted again, eyeing the empty fields we were passing on the way to our brother's new home. "And how many unmarried daughters had the gentleman who said such a thing?" prodded Dido.
5, my brother admitted. He was enough of a good sport to join in when all three of us laughed at him. Elderflower Hall was pleasant enough, as houses go. Cold from years of being rented hither and thither, and even more years of not being rented out. There was little evidence yet of whatever family had originally lived here. No family portraits or crests burned into the woodwork. I could not even tell if a dragon had ever been in residence. The cellars were too newly restored to show antique scorch marks or worn down flagstones from a treasure hoard. I had my suspicions about the greenhouse, which had been constructed out of steel and glass without a splinter of wood anywhere, and was therefore flame-proof. It certainly had the space to house a dragon, but there was no sign that one had lived there recently, or even within the last 50 years. The library was extensive, and yet there were no volumes on site referring to the house itself or its history. The park surrounding the hall was enormous, practically 6 parks altogether. Chambray lost no time in dragging Rackham and Harefield out to ride and stomp about in mud, and generally gamble recklessly at the slightest opportunity. Clearly he'd been holding himself back all these years, desperate to inhabit the life of a country gent. Rackham was pleased to indulge him, and Harefield approved of any activity that meant no one expected him to make conversation. The gentlemen were out of the house and in the saddle by the time Dido and I rose for breakfast at the civilised hour of 9. The very thought of what they were up to exhausted me. "Doesn't it bother you?" I asked Dido. "We don't know whether this house originally belonged to hoarders or hunters." Dido considered her own thoughts over toast points and jam. "I can't see how it matters," she said. "It's an Iverwald house, for as long as we live in it." "Iverwalds have always been hoarders. It's in our blood, in our history. We care for our dragons and we take care of their jewels. Even with a grandfather who embarrassed the family by losing most of our fortune, and a father who struggled to replace it. Even with a patroness in hibernation and no waking dragon to advise us, we are hoarders. You can be a hoarder or a hunter. There is no middle ground. If the family vaults were emptied tomorrow and nothing remained of our family hoard but a single pearl, we would guard that pearl with our lives, and we would build our fortune back up all over again without harming a single scale of dragon's flesh. It is the only honourable way to live. Even if 2/5 of the 900 do not agree." And so, when I learned that Mr. Bellamy, of the 5 daughters, who had called on Chambray within days of his taking Elderflower Hall, and in whose library Chambray had politely sat for 10 minutes only a few days later. When I learned that he was a retired dragon hunter with 15 kills on his record. Well, I vowed then and there that Chambray would only marry one of those 5 daughters over my dead body. And that was before I met the horrid little fortune hunters. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. This podcast was recorded on Patlawa land. I acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal people as the traditional and continuing custodians of Lutruwita. Sheep Might Fly is produced and edited by Andrew Finch. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Instagram, Blue Sky, or Threads at TansyRR. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of bonus rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.